Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for Justice Matters with former federal prosecutor and MSNBC analyst Glenn Kirshner. The Trump election interference trial is now underway. Here's Glenn with details.
So, friends, after lo these many years of living through Donald Trump criming through the 2016 presidential campaign, Donald Trump criming through 4 years of his presidency, and Donald Trump even criming in his post-presidency years, we are about to see his first criminal trial kick off with opening statements in a Manhattan courtroom on Monday morning. So as we usually do, let's start with the new reporting. And then I want to take some time talking about opening statements, some of the challenges that prosecutors encounter in opening statements, and one challenge in particular that they will encounter in this Trump prosecution, some of the challenges that defense attorneys have in opening statements. And there is one that I want to focus on after we get through the new reporting that I think involves some real tactical peril for Donald Trump's defense attorneys. But let's start with the new reporting. This from the Washington Post. Headline, opening statements set for Monday in Trump's New York hush money trial. I wish they would stop calling it that. It's an election interference trial. It's falsifying business records, 34 felony counts. Yes, to cover up hush money payments. Why? To gain unfair advantage in the 2016 presidential election. This is an election interference case. And that is how I believe Alvin Bragg's prosecutors will frame it for the jury throughout the trial. Let's go back to the reporting. A jury is set to hear opening statements on Monday on whether Donald Trump falsified bank records in connection with his efforts to hide an alleged affair from voters in the 2016 election. The historic trial began this week with a speedy but emotional jury selection. A few potential jurors cried as they considered whether they could handle the first ever trial of a former president, one who is known for his tirades against the U.S. justice system and is also the presumptive Republican nominee in this year's presidential election. New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, and mind you, Supreme Court is what they call the trial court in New York, and justice is what they call the judge in that trial court. New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan thanked participants for their bravery, as several shared painful details of their pasts in front of scores of reporters during the jury screening process. He praised others for their honesty in saying that Trump's rhetoric would make it hard for them to judge Trump fairly. Quote, "I feel so overcome, nervous, and anxious," one potential juror told the judge Friday morning. "This is so much more stressful than I thought it was going to be." Through questions designed to root out bias among the jury pool, both sides have started to signal their trial strategies. Assistant District Attorney Joshua Steinglass told prospective jurors that the government would prove not just bank fraud, but an implicit conspiracy to commit election fraud and pull the wool over the eyes of the American voters. In prosecutors' formulation, Trump skirted campaign finance laws by funneling a $130,000 payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels through Michael Cohen, his attorney and fixer, then falsely claiming the money used to repay Cohen was for legal work. Defense attorney Susan Netchlis laid the groundwork for impeaching the testimony of Cohen, a convicted perjurer, by asking potential jurors if they could use your common sense and understand that if two witnesses say two diametrically opposed things, someone is lying.
Coming up next, Glenn talks about evidence that the jury will see and hear during Trump's trial in New York. This is Justice Matters.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So, what are the main goals of Alvin Bragg's prosecution and Trump's defense team? Glenn predicts what the attorneys will do in the case.
Okay, friends, let's talk about opening statements. So, a prosecutor has three main goals in presenting an opening statement to a jury. First, and perhaps most obvious, most intuitive, talk about all of the incriminating evidence. All of the evidence you believe will help prove a defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Two, and this is perhaps even more important than number one, front the weaknesses in your case. Talk about the soft spots in the evidence. Why? Because the last thing you want to do is hide from the jury during opening statements some of the problem areas of your evidence. For example, that Michael Cohen lied previously. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but we call it drawing the sting when you front the weaknesses in your case. Now, once you tell the jury about those weaknesses, you go on to discuss why those weaknesses are not fatal to the case. In fact, you try to turn some of those weaknesses into strength. For example, Michael Cohen lying previously several times over, Michael Cohen himself and the evidence will prove that the reason he told many of those lies was to protect Donald Trump, keep him out of hot water. Indeed, he has said many times that much of what he did, including the crimes he committed, were at the direction of and for the benefit of Donald Trump. And of course, Michael Cohen was prosecuted, convicted, and imprisoned for committing those crimes with Donald Trump for his benefit at his direction. And Donald Trump hasn't suffered a single day of accountability. Feels like an injustice to me, but we're about to remedy that. So you want to not only front the weaknesses, draw the sting, but you want to frame for the jury how they should view those weaknesses and why at the end of the day, they're either not weaknesses at all or the weaknesses will be overcome. For example, with corroboration, Michael Cohen made a covert audio recording of his conversation with Donald Trump talking about this corrupt hush money scheme. That's pretty powerful corroboration of what Michael Cohen says happened. It's almost like having an audio recording when a candidate says, just find me enough votes to declare me the winner. 11,780 is what I need. You know, I used to have cases like that with audio recordings of the defendant talking about the crime he intended to commit or was in the process of committing or had committed, like in a wiretap case where we were investigating a drug conspiracy, and you heard the defendant who was sitting right there in the defendant's chair and the jury was looking at him, and I pressed play on the audio recording and they heard the defendant say, I'm gonna need 10 kilos on Friday. I call that a just press play trial. So there's gonna be ample corroboration for Michael Cohen's testimony. Listen, people can lie previously and tell the truth currently, like in court, under oath. Not unusual. Jurors understand that. And when the prosecutors talk about the corroboration, the support, the evidence that affirms the truth of what Michael Cohen is now testifying to, they're going to get it. They're going to see contracts that were signed to make hush money payments. They're going to see checks that Donald Trump wrote trying to falsely claim they were being written for legal expenses when in fact they were being written to reimburse Michael Cohen for the hush money that he, Michael Cohen, paid at the direction of and for the benefit of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was writing some of these reimbursement checks and trying to criminally cover up the true nature of them out of the Oval Office. Donald Trump brought his criminal scheme right into the White House. Yes, so there will be ample corroboration for Michael Cohen's testimony, but you front the weaknesses, you tell the jurors about the weak spots, and you talk about what they mean. The third goal of a prosecutor's opening statement is to build all-important credibility with the jury. Let me tell you, when you begin to talk about the weaknesses in your case, jurors will perk up and be like, this guy is trying to prove guilt. Why is he telling us about the weaknesses in the case? Oh, it's because he really is an honest broker of the facts and the law, and he's not trying to hide the weak spots from us. He's talking about them and trying to explain what they mean and how we should receive evidence of those weak spots. But you want to build all-important credibility with the jury. You want them to look at you, to give it to them straight, the good, the bad, and the ugly, warts and all, and to explain what it means. So those are the three goals of a prosecutor's opening statement. A defense attorney also has three goals. So doubt, right? Create reasonable doubt as best they can. Reasonable doubt is the defendant's friend and the defense attorney's goal. So whereas the prosecutors will try to build up the case with the evidence, defense attorneys will try to tear it down. But there's one important tactical choice and tactical challenge the defense attorneys will have to make. You know, they're going to go after all of the witnesses who testify, that not only the Michael Cohens, but the David Peckers and the Stormy Daniels and the Hope Hicks and many, many, many others. And they're going to try to tear them down, try to suggest they're lying. And they're going to perhaps take the position that Donald Trump didn't do all these things. He didn't do all these things that the witnesses claimed he did. However, if the evidence is strong, and the jurors, as they likely will, come to believe that Donald Trump did do all these things that Donald Trump has forever been saying he didn't do and that his defense attorneys are trying to convince us he didn't do, then the defense may have to pivot. They may have to engage in what we call alternate defenses. You know, the Trump administration was kind of famous for alternative facts. Well, sometimes defense attorneys will present alternative defenses. Let me use a common example, one that I had to contend with many times over in my career as a prosecutor, and let me use an easy-to-understand example, a murder trial. I can't tell you how many times I had defense attorneys argue in closing arguments. Remember, it's opening statements and closing arguments. You don't get to argue in opening. You lay out what the evidence is, including the weak spots and the corroboration, but you don't, for example, get to then start arguing. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what reasonable inferences we believe you should draw from the evidence. That's argument. That is reserved for closing and rebuttal arguments at the end of the case. Opening statements, closing arguments. So I have had defense attorneys argue, ladies and gentlemen, my client didn't kill the victim. Nothing could be further from the truth. But if he did it in self-defense, Really? I think alternative defenses, which are used in court not infrequently, just end up insulting the jury, right? It just is contrary to our common sense. Wait a minute, he didn't kill the victim, but if he did it in self-defense. When defense attorneys would make that kind of an argument in their closing argument, after I had made my closing argument, remember, the government, the prosecutors have the burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and that burden never shifts to the defendant. That's why the prosecutors get the first word and the last word. We make the first opening statement, we make the first closing argument, and then we get a rebuttal argument after the defense gives their closing argument. And there were times when I would stand up when alternative defenses were presented. I said, ladies and gentlemen, the defense attorney tries to convince you that his client didn't kill the victim, but then says, if he did, he did it in self-defense? Really? And I argued cases just like that. Like I was sitting around my kitchen table with friends and families, just, you know, telling it like it is. Come on now. So, yes, the defense will have some tactical choices and challenges in the way they try to defend Donald Trump. Not the easiest client to defend, not only because the mountain of incriminating evidence against him, but because who he is and how he has run his mouth in all sorts of absurd and even dangerous ways over the years, all of which will come back to haunt him in this trial. So now we sit ready, enthusiastic even, to hear about these opening statements and enjoy this historic moment, a criminal former president of the United States being prosecuted for his crimes for the first time ever in our nation's history. You know, friends, it feels like maybe, just maybe, after we had to endure Donald Trump criming his way through the 2016 campaign and election, criming his way through 4 years as president of the United States, and even criming his way through his post-presidency years, it feels like accountability may finally be coming for just some of the crimes Donald Trump committed, I think most directly against the people of New York in connection with this criminal prosecution, but by extension, against all American voters, against we the people. It feels like accountability might actually finally be coming, because justice matters. Friends, as always, please stay safe, please stay tuned, and I look forward to talking with you all again tomorrow.
For more on Glenn, go to Glenn Kirshner 2 on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. This is Justice Matters.